everybody. Hey, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Woo-hoo! I want to say thank you so much to our leadership team, who's done a fantastic job over the last 3 weeks, to Pastor B, who preached an amazing message about your parents, being a parent and encouraging your children, to Mr. Renee, who did a fantastic job on Father's Day about being a dad, and to Pastor Jen, who always brings a timely message, and she talked about legacy last week. I want to say thank you. It truly does take a village to raise a child, and I am blessed. I'm a single mother pastoring this church, but I don't do it alone. In this last month, many of you don't know this, but I had to move in the last month, so we had to find a place. The kids were ending school, and we had a trip that we prepared to go to a year ago. Back in September, we prepared to go to Cooperstown, New York, for my youngest son, Joshua, to be able to play baseball. And so we had all that planned, and then the landlord said, oh, you got to move. During the same month, you got to travel. I was like, oh, God, no. And I will say this, the church has been phenomenal. Mr. Joe, thank you. Mr. Joe has come to my house multiple times to pick up stuff, unhook stuff, move stuff. And I couldn't do this without this church. So when my children do great, I want you to know it's not a function of me as a pastor. It's a function of this entire church supporting me to be able to be there with my kids. And so I thank you. We actually had a trip that came up that wasn't planned. So while we were in New York, we get a phone call that Jeffrey got invited to play for a team that was playing for a U.S. national championship. And so we had about a week to say, okay, how do we figure out how to get to hot Phoenix? And I praise the Lord. Pastor Jen was like, I got you, Pastor. We'll take care of it. And so I just want to say thank you to our leaders. Thank you to Pastor Alex, who taught Bible study for me 1 week while I was gone, ran the movie for me. Thanks to Deacon Mark, Crystal, Anna Maria, Renee, everybody has done. Miss Donna, they've all stepped in. Miss Donna made sure y'all had popcorn on Wednesday. And a lot of people think that they look at the pastor and they say, oh, you know, Pastor, you're doing a great job. I'm not. It's the team. The team does a phenomenal job. We probably have, in my opinion, the absolute best ministry team you can ever find in the people that I just named. And if I miss somebody, y'all forgive me because I'm older. But thank you guys so much. I was able to go away. It turned out to be 3 weeks out of 4 weeks in the month of June. And without a hiccup, this church has gone, progressed, done it what it's supposed to do. Thanks to Miss Jewel, who continuously holds down the worship department. So I just can't say enough about how much I appreciate you guys and how much it means to me that you allow me to be able to do these kinds of things with my children. It is really, really powerful. So we as a family thank you, church, for your support over the last month. So now we're all moved in, kind of, sort of. Mr. Joe's still coming by the house a few times. And we're all settled. We're getting settled in. And I was doing my devotion this week, and I knew that the Lord wanted us to look at the movie Woodlawn. How many of you got a chance to see the movie Woodlawn on Wednesday night? Oh, wow, most of you. Amazing. Did you enjoy the movie? Fantastic movie. And so what we're doing in this series At the Movies is we're watching a movie on Wednesday night, and then we're going to talk about some of the principles from the movie on Sunday. Now, I don't want you to feel like if you didn't see the movie, for whatever reason, that you're out of it. Trust me, I'll catch you up on it. And by the time this is over, this is probably one of my favorite movies. If you have not seen it, I encourage you to get to see it. But what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some biblical principles from the movies we watch. Now, this upcoming week is 4th of July, and so we want you to spend time with your family, so no movie this week. But the following Sunday, so a week from today, because we won't have a movie, what we're going to do is we're going to be using biblical principles from a movie that we've recently seen as a church, which is The Greatest Showman. Anybody enjoy The Greatest Showman? Yeah. So we'll be using biblical principles from that movie. So if you haven't seen that movie, if you get a shot, try to watch it over the next week. Hey, if you're like, I don't want to rent a movie, I don't want to pay for it, don't worry about it. I'll explain it all next week in the message. All right? All right, praise the Lord. All right, so today, if you got your Bibles, I want you to grab 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 5. And I was doing my devotion. How many of y'all read your Bible every day? Some of y'all too scared to lift your hand. Some of y'all don't want to be seen. You don't want people to know I missed a day. Hey, it doesn't matter. We just want to encourage you to keep on trying. Read your Bible every day. And if you read your Bible every day and you use the OSL Daily Reading Plan, this passage will be very familiar for you. This was one of the passages this week. And as I was studying and preparing for the message for this week, the Lord put this message, this scripture on my heart. And when he put it there, it was like this blaring, oh my God, that's the answer. That's the answer. And you might say, what is the answer? The title of my message today is Change the Culture. And I was asking God, God, we are in a crazy culture right now. I mean, it's like everything that's wild and weird and strange that could be happening. We've got protests happening. All kinds of stuff are going on. What are we supposed to do as Christians? Anybody ever ask that question? As you look at the news, you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? Like I know you want me to do something, but I don't really understand what that something is. And if you're like me, I'm like, you know what? I am all for people protesting. I just probably am not going to go out there. And nobody's saying amen. You too scared to rat yourself out? I grew up in the you know, I wasn't a 90s baby. That's a lie. I was a young teen in the 90s. And, you know, we had the Rodney King riots, and people were marching. And I was like, I believe in that march. But I was like, you know what? I got homework. I know. People are like, Pastor, you're so awful. And I would feel guilty. Y'all, anybody else ever feel guilty? I would feel guilty because I would see an injustice, and I knew there was something I was supposed to do. But I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And I didn't feel compelled. I was like, I don't like a lot of people. So y'all protesting, it's all these people. It's hot. Y'all be touching each other. I can't do that. I don't like all people. I can't handle that. So I always ask the Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? Now, some of y'all are sitting there, and y'all judging me right now. I'm going to correct all that judgment in just a minute. Can't believe my pastor won't protest. Can't believe you won't go out there with a picket sign. Look, I'm going to tell you something. God freed me, and I hope he frees you to know what to do today in the midst of these injustices. There is something every Christian can do. And when I saw this passage, I got so much joy because I felt like, aha, God, there it is. So you guys ready to read the passage? Amen. Is anybody interested in finding out what it is? Yes. Y'all looking at me like, oh, I don't do that. Did anybody go to the protest yesterday? See, don't none of y'all judge me. None of you people judge me. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 through 5. You don't have to stand, but the words are going to appear on your screen. I'm going to ask you to find that really quick. I think I gave you enough time. If you do me a favor, lift your Bibles or your electronic devices high up in the air, and we're going to say our Bible affirmation together. Let's read. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 5. Let's read. Let's read together. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. Let's read together. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Father, thank you so much for the word that you're giving us today. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us, young and those of us who are a little more mature. Speak a word to help us know what you're calling us to do to change this culture. Lord, I think we all can see how challenging the times are. Now, Lord, I pray that you would give us a specific word. Show us what you're calling us to do right in the middle of this situation so that we can be the salt and light, Father, for you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Help me, Lord, to teach the message. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, somebody say change the culture. So how many of y'all can see that the current culture we're in is very much like what Paul was describing to Timothy? Paul says you're in a time when people do not endure sound doctrine. Like, lying is now the norm in our culture. But it used to be a time when if you lied, people was like, oh, you a liar. But now it's like, what do you expect? That's what we hear, right? I'm not even talking about little white lies anymore, which, by the way, little white lies are still lies for those of y'all who don't know. It's still a lie. Rallies are happening all over America over police brutality, gun violence, separating children from parents at the border. What are we as believers supposed to do with all this? Do you ever wonder what God calls us to do in this culture that is not enduring sound doctrine anymore? I mean, should we be protesting? Should we be calling our congressmen? Should we be voting? Should we be posting on Facebook and ranting and raving and trolling people on Facebook? Should we be running for political office like the young Puerto Rican woman up in the Bronx who just dismantled a longstanding Republican? Hey, I'm not for or against her, but I like the fact. I was like, man, she's 28, and all she did was walk the neighborhood and she won? I was like, that seems doable. But I was like, God, I ain't about to go walk the city. It's hot in San Jose. I mean, are we supposed to be getting into arguments with friends of opposed views? Or are we supposed to do nothing? What are we supposed to do, God, as believers? And I'm going to be using the truth that Paul gave to Timothy in the midst of this same exact situation. And I'm also going to be using some principles from the movie Woodlawn to answer this question of how to change the culture. Now, Woodlawn is a movie that's based on a true story about a football player named Tony Nathan. It's a story of how love and unity overcame hate and racial tension in the early 1970s in Birmingham, Alabama. Now, in the movie, there's this guy, a little short guy who had a cane. His name was Hank, who had been to a Billy Graham revival. And it was Expo 72. And he went to this revival meeting, and he gets touched by a word from the Lord. And he begins to share his message of love and hope found in Jesus Christ to the team, to the football team that he felt God had called him to. Then something remarkable happened. More than 40 players, both black and white, in this racially charged school, gave their lives to Jesus Christ, and the change in them produced a change, not just in them, but in their coach, in their school, and in the entire community. Now, what was happening in 1970s was also happening in Paul's day, but it's also happening today. I mean, just think about the racial charged environment that we're living in today. Most people would say, oh, well, we had the civil rights movement. We don't see that. But we're looking, if you have Facebook, if you look at the news, you're seeing it everywhere. It's coming back. Let me tell you something. Satan has no new tricks. He just keeps doing the same thing over and over and over again. And here we sit in this culture where we're dealing with racial issues of people from different countries. You know, we don't want people from different countries here. We've got people who are saying we don't want people, you know, who are coming. We like people from this culture, but we don't like people from that culture to come in. We are living in a time, I'm telling you, the 1970s for y'all young people, I know it feels like it was a long time ago. I was alive in the 70s. But it's amazing how just 44, 45 years later, we're still dealing with the exact same issues. And you know what? I said, God, I'm sick of this. I'm tired of it, but I don't know what to do. So as I was reading this week, I looked at it, and Paul starts to talk to Timothy. And he tells Timothy, he says, look, a time's going to come when people are not going to endure sound doctrine. See, this is not about race. This is not about the border. This is not about politics. This is not about which side of the coin you're on. You know what this is? This is about the fact that we as a culture don't endure sound doctrine anymore. We don't have an absolute truth anymore. Truth used to be truth. What God's word said was truth. Now we're living in a culture where people are saying, well, you know, I don't think that the Bible really, really applies to today. So we have no absolute truth. And because we have no absolute truth, people, watch this, the next part, start moving according to their own desires. People start moving according to what they want to do and what they feel is right. Because if you talk to people who oppose what the Bible says, they have great logic as to why they feel like they are correct in everything that they are saying. And then here's the hard part. As Christians, we are made to feel like we are extremist and awful people because we believe the truth of God's word. Some of y'all ain't agreeing with me because y'all thinking about a particular topic. Don't think about a particular topic. Let's think about the whole thing. Think about the whole of Scripture. The Bible says that God's word is completely inspired by the word of God. And it's useful for rebuking, correcting, training, and teaching in righteousness. But what happens is nobody wants to be rebuked. Nobody wants to be corrected. Nobody wants to be taught. People want to be encouraged, but don't rebuke, correct, train, and teach me nothing. You know why? Because according to my own desires, I want to do what I want to do. All right, yeah, y'all, now see, look, y'all going to start writing me letters. Pastor's talking about this. I never mention a particular topic. Because it is not topic-based. It's based on the fact that we don't believe in the word anymore. We don't think the word of God has power anymore. We don't believe that God is who he says he is, that God is going to do what he says he did, he's going to do, and that his word is absolute truth anymore. That is out the door in this country. And so because of that, we are living according to our own desires. Now watch this. He goes on to say, because they have itching ears, which means I'm looking for people to tell me what I want to hear. Y'all ain't got to amen me. I'm preaching what the word's saying. Oh, pastor talking about this. Keep that in your mind. But this is what the word says. People start looking for folks who will tell them what they want to hear. Look, that happens in the church too. You know, people church hop because they don't like what the pastor said at this church. Now, my thing is if it ain't from the word of God, then you might have a point. Go on and leave. But if they preaching straight up right from the word, don't be sitting there talking about, I can't believe they over there talking about that. Well, wait a second. What does the word say? You are gathering for yourselves teachers who will tell you what your itching. Itching means you are looking for somebody to say to you what you want to say. Let me help you, church. We have to be careful to not find people who only say what we want them to say. It's dangerous. If you got a leader or a mentor who only tells you what you want to hear, you got a problem. I love my mentors because they will tell me like a T.I. is. If I'm right, wrong, or indifferent, they're going to tell it to me. Now, I can sit there and be like, ah, man. Or I can say, wait, God put them in my life, and they're using the word to correct, rebuke, teach, and train me so that I can be the woman of God God's called me to be. Or I can sit there and be like, well, I don't like what you said, so I'm out. I'm preaching this thing. If you get mad at your spiritual leader, and you will, I ain't got an amen. I'm going to give you a prophetic word. There will come a time when you'll say, I don't like what that person said to me. I mean, if you're really walking with God, and you're really walking in fellowship, then your leader's going to say something you don't like. At that moment, ask yourself this question. Am I looking for somebody to say what my itching ears want to hear? Or I'm looking for the truth. Because the truth will always align me back with what God wants me to do. And my itching ears will always lead me away. Now watch this. So this is the culture that we're living in. Now watch this. It keeps going on. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. So when we start seeking what we want to hear, we start chasing our ears, and then we start being pulled away from the truth of God's word. And then we get turned aside to fables, which means we start believing the lies that we start hearing because they're saying what we want to hear. This is the culture that was in Timothy's day. This is the culture that was in Woodlawn. And this is the culture that we exist in today. People are even taking scriptures and trying to make scriptures say what they want to say. So you also got to be careful that you are what we call Berean Christians, Christians who study the word for yourself so that you will know, are they using, because there's a lot of Christians right now who are using the word to pull people away from Jesus because the word says, I mean, we talk about the slavery times, slavery, slavery, slavery. The Bible does talk about slavery, but it didn't talk about mistreating folks. Matter of fact, it was like, you ought to be good, because that was a part of the culture in the time. It was an economic system. And they were like, I ain't telling you to snatch folks from other lands. But that's another story. So just because it says it's the word, make sure you read the word to make sure it's saying what the word is saying. All right. Now, what I want to say is that God's word will transcend all cultures. And right now, changing the culture is even harder than it feels like it's ever been because we face a culture that has absolutely rejected truth and now considers it stylish and more acceptable to openly embrace and encourage people to degrade the truth. So what do we do? I'm gonna give you four things today that you can do. Two do's and two don'ts. And they're not necessarily in that order, but four things you can do based upon the word to change the culture. Number one, don't run. Somebody say, don't run.
Don't run.
Y'all don't like this. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, but you be watchful in all things. Wouldn't it be nice if we as Christians could just say, look, Jesus, can we just get a section of the world where all the believers can live and we can be nice to each other and we all believe the same things and nobody has conflict? First of all, if you have any place like this in the world, we're going to be fighting anyway, because that's what the church is supposed to look like. Anybody saying amen? All right. But watch this. Wouldn't it be nice to just say, beam me up, Jesus, not to heaven, but just out of this place? Because I know y'all ain't ready to go to heaven. Don't be acting like, oh, I'm love Jesus, I'm ready to go to heaven. You ain't ready to go. Right? But wouldn't it be nice if we could just say, get me up out of here, God? I want to go to a place where I don't have to deal with all these opposing and afflicting views. But Jesus said, no, 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 no. When Jesus got ready to leave, he prayed a prayer. His prayer was John 17:15, and it said this. He said, I don't pray that you should take them out of the world. You know what Jesus says? I ain't praying that you let them leave the world, Jesus, God. What? I got to stay in this? He said, but my prayer is that you should keep them from the evil one. God never prayed that we would get out of the situation. Come on, somebody. First thing you got to do is you can't run. Don't run. Don't get to the point where you're saying, I don't need to deal with that. I don't need to see that. It doesn't affect me. It's not a part of my situation. It's not about me. Oh, that's happening to the people down at the border. We live in California, Northern California. That ain't us. We can't. Don't run. Don't run mentally. Don't run emotionally. Don't run physically. How many of y'all said, and don't raise your hand because I don't want you telling yourself, how many of you said, if so-and-so is elected, I'm moving to Canada? You know what we said? We said, I'm running from the situation. God never wanted us to run in the midst of this crazy culture. What he told Timothy was, Paul said, Timothy, watch. He said, don't run, watch. In times like this, we shouldn't be quick to say, get me out of here. Let me run. I'm tired of this. I'm out of here. Do you not know that God placed you right where he wanted you to be for such a time as this? Matter of fact, Acts chapter 17, verse 26 tells us that God has determined our pre-appointed times and the boundaries of our dwelling. Well, you know what that means? God knew that we was going to live in 2018 in Silicon Valley right here. And he has a work for each of us to do right here. And many of us are trying to figure out, it's too high to live here. How do I get up out of here? But do you know if every Christian left Silicon Valley, how bad Silicon Valley would be? It's already rough. Only 3% of the culture is believers. Only 3% of the people in Silicon Valley are believers. And you know, the ones who are struggling financially are often Christians. And so the enemy is like, run! I was in Phoenix. And I was like, if it wasn't so dang on hot, I could do this. But you know what the Lord kept telling me? It's too hot for you, girl. It's too hot. Because you know, you go to Phoenix, and we have friends who moved there. We got a chance to visit them. They got a nice house. They weren't able to buy a house here, so they were able to buy a nice little house. And, you know, they had their AC going, the fan. I was like, I could do this. And then I stepped outside that next morning at 7 o'clock, and it was 108. I was like, the devil is a lie. I told my sons, I said, everybody in Phoenix and Arizona in the desert should be saved. And they were like, why? I said, because if this heat don't make you want to run from hell, I don't know what else will. Paul's advice in the middle of these hard times is don't run, but instead be watchful. Be watchful. Now, if you look at that verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4 in the NIV, it actually doesn't say be watchful. It says, but you keep your head in all situations. Keep your head in all situations. You know what that means? That means stay focused. Be alert. Pay attention. Don't sit around in a blinded state. Don't be in our culture and have no idea of what's happening inside the culture. Pay attention to it. Pay attention to the false teaching that's happening. Now, some of y'all getting mad and you like, I don't know what to do, so I don't even want to hear the news anymore. I'm not telling you to watch the news every day, because some of us can't handle the news every day. It's too much. But you at least should know what's happening. Even if you just get alerts on your phone, just do something where you can stay alert to what's happening. How do you know what to pray for if you don't know what's going on? How do you know what to ask God to move and do if you have no clue of what's happening? Some of us in the church want to be blinded and want to be, excuse this word, ignorant, that means unknowing, of the culture around us because we want to stay in our little bubble. We want life to be okay for us. Me and mine, I don't really care about what's happening with nobody else. But Paul is like, shut up and be watchful about what's happening. Keep your head in all situations. Know what is happening in our culture. I'm not telling you you got to be on one side of the coin politically or the other. I'm saying know what's happening on the coin. That's it. You can have your own views. God is not saying that you can't have a view or you can't speak your mind. What he's saying is I want you to know what's happening. And we got children in the room and they're like, I hate stuff like that. You know what? It's really interesting because my children get news alerts on their phone. And that's just enough for them to know what's happening. It's so funny. My oldest son will be saying stuff like, I can't believe that so-and-so just did that. I'm like, how you know? Got an alert on my phone. A one-sentence message keeps you alerted. So for those of y'all who can't handle the deep dive of all the political madness because it makes you depressed, I get it. Just get an alert. Stay alert. Why? Don't bury your hand in the sand about what's happening to us. The last thing we need to do as Christians is to be completely unaware. Jesus said, I'm coming back. You need to be watching. You need to be looking for the signs. You need to be seeing what's going on. I'm blessed because my oldest son, his baseball coach, actually had a devotional. And in the devotional, he talked about the revelation. He, like, spent a Bible study teaching kids, freshmen and sophomores in high school, about the end of the times. He was like, I want y'all to know what's going to happen. And my son's telling me, oh, look, Jesus is close, but he ain't coming back because this got to happen, this got to happen. I was like, come on. If my 15-year-old knows, shouldn't we know? Shouldn't we be watching? Shouldn't we pay attention to this kind of stuff? Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is coming back. And there's a lot of stuff happening that's pointing to the fact that it's getting closer and closer. Y'all like, it ain't no closer. You know what? We closer than we were 2,000 years ago when Paul said we was in the last days 2,000 years ago. And I want to say this, not just with our president, not just with our Congress, not just with the Supreme Court. We ought to be conscious of what's happening in the city of San Jose with our mayor, the city councils, the school boards, because a lot of stuff is happening and a lot of stuff is changing. And you know what? We just had election in June, and many of us didn't even vote. But we have to. How can we be alert if we don't know the state of what's happening around us? And so Paul told Timothy to watch. And he wasn't just saying watch and see what happens. He was saying watch and pray, Timothy. Watch and pray. Matthew 26:41, Jesus tells the disciples, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If we don't know what's going on, if we don't pray about it, we don't know what God is doing in our generation. And we are susceptible to falling into some things that God never wanted us to be into. We need to be actively watching the world around us and praying about it. Now in the movie Woodlawn, Hank, the evangelist, he was constantly praying about the situations around him. And he was looking for a way to impact the team based on who he was and what God called him to do. You're not just watching and saying, oh, Lord, help the people down there. You're watching, you're saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how do I help? Lord, where am I called? Now, and here's the funny thing. Hank was not a coach. He was not a teacher. He was not a counselor. As a matter of fact, the school didn't hire him. They didn't ask him to show up. He didn't have a pass saying, come on in and preach the gospel. You know what? He heard a word from the Lord saying, go to Woodlawn and go and talk to the football team. That was it. And some of y'all are waiting on God to give you a full ministry plan before you know what to do in our culture. What God is saying, don't run, just pray. And if you pray, I will tell you the one little step I need you to take. If Hank had never showed up in the gym that day and preached the gospel to those 40-plus young men on the football team, the whole movie of Woodlawn would have never happened. He did the one thing. He watched, he prayed, he heard what God said, and he did it. And it was like, just go and teach the gospel. And some of y'all are like, oh, I don't know how to do that. You know what? I know it's been a while, but a month ago we talked about going to kids club. Some of us don't understand. That might be how God has called us to change the culture, to just go into a school and to teach the gospel every Thursday. And some of us are like, yeah, I don't really think that's a big thing. You know what? You don't know if it's big. You're not supposed to know if it's big because God is in control. What we are supposed to do is say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You often don't know how things are going to turn out. But when you walk away from God, you walk away from opportunities to change the culture. When you tell God, I'm not going to do that one, you miss an opportunity to change the culture. When you're sitting in an Uber and the Uber driver starts talking and the Holy Spirit says, tell them about Jesus, and you say, I don't know how they're going to take it, you miss an opportunity to change the culture. You miss it. So you got to be watchful. That means look and be alert. What's happening around me? What's happening on my job? Well, they don't believe what I believe, so I don't want to engage in no conversations with them. But you know what? They're hurting. And the Holy Spirit might say, tell them I'll pray for you. Oh, I'm never going to say that. But if you pray, watch this, and a miracle happens, what if they say, oh my God, Jesus is real? See, we as Christians got to walk around with our eyes open, looking for ways, looking for opportunities for God to use us. In any way, no matter how crazy it is, no matter how ridiculous, oh, come on, y'all done got quiet. Don't get quiet on me. I ain't talking about you. So the first thing we must do is we must not run. Don't run. Somebody say, don't run. The second thing we have to do is do the work. Somebody say, do the work. So the first one is a don't. Don't run. The second one is a do. Do the work. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, 2 Timothy 4, 5, he says, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. Don't run, watch, and do the work of an evangelist. Some of y'all, if you were like me, you're like, well, what's the work of an evangelist? You're asking me to do the work of an evangelist. What does that mean? Now, I want you to know that this was not just designed to go to Paul, to Timothy, who was a preacher. God wants every believer to do the work of an evangelist. Now, there is an office of an evangelist where you got people who stand up and they teach and people get saved and blah, 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 blah. He's not asking you to stand up in front of folks. He's asking you to do the work of an evangelist. What does an evangelist do? An evangelist shares the gospel. So what's the work of an evangelist? Share the gospel. So I'm not asking you to be an officer in the church. I'm asking you to just do the work that evangelists do, which is share the gospel. Every Christian is supposed to share the gospel. What's the gospel, Pastor? It's the good news of Jesus. The gospel is the fact that God hates sins because it separates us from him and condemns us to hell. He loves us so much that he sent his son to die as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. And the gospel says our relationship with God can be restored if we believe, repent, and give our lives to him. It's good news. Pastor, I can't remember all that. Jesus died, he's buried, rose again. Well, how do I apply that in people's situations? You know what? When I looked at the movie Woodlawn, the good news, he did preach the gospel very clearly. People got saved. But he also did the good news in various ways. He looked at a young man, and the Holy Spirit showed him the good in that young man. And he prophesied to him. He says, son, you are a superstar. You're a superstar. And he said, don't tell me that, because I ain't never seen no black superstar come out of Alabama. Like, don't fill my head with that nonsense. But you know what? That was the good news of the gospel. Do you know how many people need to hear a word about how God wants to use them and how God wants to bless them and how God can do a work in their life and how they're special and amazing? You know how many folks need to hear that word and you sitting on it? You sitting there like, I'm not going to tell them Jesus died, buried, rose again. Okay, well, fine. Tell them that God loves you. Tell them that God has a plan for your life. Tell them that God's not done with you. You got people around you who are committing suicide. You got people around you who are about to fall apart on the inside because they don't feel confident. They don't feel like they know anything. They don't feel like life has a meaning, and you're sitting there with the answer of the good news, and all you got to do is say, God loves you. He's crazy about you. He's not going to let you fall. He's right there with you. Hang on. Come on. If you just grab his hand, he'll be with you. And some of us are sitting there saying, I can't do that. I know some of y'all are like me with protests. Like, it's too much work. But you know, God will use you and your personality just the way you are. right where you are. Some of y'all are like, I can't be like Pastor. I can't stand on no stage. I'm not as confident talking to people. You know what? Grab them one-on-one. Take them to lunch. Write them a note if you can't talk. God's crazy about you. God loves you. But see, if I'm watching, I can see who God is leading me to. I can see where God's calling me to go. What do you have? Who do you have around you that you can encourage and you can speak life to? Who can you give hope to that's doing the work of an evangelist? I want y'all to sit on that one for just a second. Because we're talking about changing the culture. You never know how the person who you talk to, how the fact that they come to Jesus can change a culture around them. There are people that I've been blessed to share the gospel with. They're first generation believers in their family. And I've watched entire generations change in their family because that one person came to Christ. And we got lines of people and generations of people in their family that are being changed. Wait, if we can change the generation of one family, what happens if everybody in here gets one or two families in this community? Now we're starting to get a community of folks who believe in Jesus. See, I changed the culture by just doing the work of the event, just by saying, okay, I'm going to tell you about the goodness of God. All right, let me move on. So the first thing is don't run. The second thing, is do the work. Here's point number three. No, I'm going to stay on point number two for a second. I'll eventually get to three. Do the work. Do you remember in the movie Woodlawn? And if you don't, I'll tell you this. The team was awful. They pretty much sucked. And they gave their life to Jesus Christ, and they lost their games. And they were like, well, where was God when we lost? It's like, well, maybe God's just testing you, seeing if your heart's really in the right place. And then he gets to a point, and they're facing the team that has won everything. I mean, this is the number one team in the state. And everybody's saying, I mean, these are giants. And Hank prays. He watches. And he gets a word from the Lord. And he comes in and he reads the scripture. And he says, y'all going to be like David and Goliath. We're going to take them down today. And they shall see the goodness of the Lord. And the coach was like, nah, this is, all right, well, let's just do our best. And they go out and they take down the giant. And Hank's standing there with a little rock in his hand at the end. Right? That prophetic word was a miracle. Do you not know that when you pray and you watch and you do the work, God will speak a prophetic word through you to someone else? Well, I'm not a prophet. I'm not going to stand up. No, no, anybody asks you to be a prophet, what I'm asking you is to follow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses those prophetic words to serve as miracles so that people will see. The coach came to Jesus Christ because of that miracle. What if Hank never said anything and they just won that day? He'd have been like, because he used to say, I'm the captain of my own fate. I'm the master of my own destiny. Yeah, I just coached good that day. No, but because he spoke a word when he did and he prophesied. Y'all, let me tell you something, because I feel like I'm losing some of y'all because you're like, I'm not a prophet. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, the Lord will speak a word in your ear and you're sitting there going, I'm not going to say that. I don't know if that. Just say it. Trust him. And watch what God will do. And if you're wrong, the Holy Spirit will correct you. Move on. Ain't no big deal. Some of us are so scared of being wrong. If you are wrong, here's what you got to do. You got to let people correct you and say, okay, thanks. I appreciate that. I messed it up. But what if you're right? What if you were right? How do I make sure I'm right? I'm staying connected with God. I'm staying in his word. I'm making sure that it's not about me. And I'm making sure that I'm saying what I think this is him. And let me tell you something. The first time you do it, you're going to be shaking in your boots. But after you start doing it for a while, you're like, all right, God told me to tell you this. Look. Because you realize you can't leave with that word on you without giving it to somebody. It's too heavy. It's stressful. You'd be like, oh, my God, I should have said. Just get it off your chest. Say it. And I'm giving y'all the freedom in this church to make mistakes. Come on, somebody. It's okay. If you mess up, you know what? If you mess up anywhere else in the kingdom of God, if you mess up trying to do right, how much you think God like that? Some of y'all mess up trying to do wrong, and you're like, thank God he forgives me. He's like, at least you're trying to be right this time. You're trying to obey me. You're trying to do what you think. Just go on and give it a try. And if you're sitting there and you're like, I don't know if this is from God or not, that's what you got spiritual leaders for. We're here to help you. Call us, text us, email us. Say, hey, I think God's giving me a word for so-and-so. I don't know what to do with this. What do you think I should do? And you'll have a spiritual leader who can lead you and guide you with what you should do. But whatever you do, don't sit on that word, because that might be the word that changes a culture. Maybe the word that changes the culture. Acts 1 and 8 is very clear. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness. That ain't just the preachers and the teachers. That's everybody. So the Holy Spirit is trying to use us to get the attention of other people. And you sitting there talking about, I'm too scared. It ain't about you. Shut up. Now, have you noticed I still ain't mentioned a protest yet? Because I feel like this is stuff we can do as Christians. And some of y'all are feeling bad that you ain't out protesting this weekend because it was hot and you was tired and you didn't want to be out there. Instead, you ought to be asking yourself the question, what word did God give me? Did I share with anybody this week? Because that was my opportunity to change the culture. So don't run. What's the next one? Do the work. And here's number three. You ready for it? Three is do you. I ain't get no amens. Ah! Every time I hear do you in the church, I'll be like, oh, no, that's bad because I'm all messed up. I'm not telling you to do the wrong part of you. I'm not telling you to do what you want to do, when you want to do, where you want to do it. I want you to watch this. Do you is this. 2 Timothy 4, 5. But you be watchful, endure all in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Somebody say do you. What do I mean by do you? I mean do what God has told you to do. Do the ministry God has given you. You are not T.D. Jakes. You are not Joyce Myers. You are not Billy Graham. You are you. Stop trying to act like I can't do no work for the ministry unless I'm like one of these great giants in the world. Do you, boo? What does that mean, Pastor? Well, you know, God ain't never called me into the ministry. Yeah, but doing you means you might be a janitor. Do you and do it well. Be the janitor and give God glory and share Christ right there. That is your ministry. You might be a teacher. Be a teacher, share the love of Jesus Christ, and do you. That is your ministry. You cannot have my ministry. I cannot have your ministry. You got to find out what God is telling you to do, and you got to get in that lane, and you got to do you. Because if you do you, you'll fulfill the work that God has called you to do. Guess what? God didn't need a million T.D. Jakes. God made you uniquely designed to reach the people that you can reach. You know what? I stopped worrying about who leaves this church and who comes. You know why? Here's the reason I stopped worrying. Because I said, God, everybody that you send here is not meant to be a part of the work of this ministry. Because this ministry has a specific work. And if they leave, God bless them. I hope they find the ministry they're supposed to be doing and being a part of. But this church, we have a call to share the gospel on the east side. We have a call to reach out to people and tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. We do Easter like nobody's business. Come on, Lid. Don't we do Easter well? We're working on the Easter egg hunt a little bit. But 700 folks, 700 people get to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ because of this church on Easter. 250 plus people get to hear the gospel at Christmas because of this church. Do you? You know how many other churches are sitting there when we started doing this saying, you can't have church outside. You can't be given away to. You can't do that. You know why they say they can't do it? Because it's not their ministry. Do you? Some of y'all are freaking out right now. Hank in the movie was crippled. He was crippled sports chaplain. That was him. Whose ministry was it to preach the gospel to football teams in a racist Birmingham, Alabama? It was his. It was his. Don't try to do what you see others say you should do. Pray and talk to God and find out what is God calling you to do. And if you don't know, you have spiritual leaders who are here to help you learn what is your ministry. And your ministry may not be in the pulpit. Every day you go to work where you are, I'm telling you something, that's a part of your ministry. Wherever you work, it's part of your ministry. It may be children, adults, athletes, corporate execs, people who work out, people who teach, people who coach. You don't have to find anything new to do. Do you now? Don't that feel freeing? I ain't got to do some new work. Just be who I am. God will use me right where I am. All right, so I got so many others, but let's move on. Here's the fourth one. So the first one is what? First one is don't run. The second one is do the work. The third one is do you. And here's the fourth one. I know y'all been seeing this and you've been saying she's skipping over that. I don't like that she's skipping over it. It's don't quit. If you're going to change the culture, don't quit. Watch this, 2 Timothy 4, 5. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. I took it a little bit out of order because if I started with that, y'all would have ran. Endure afflictions. Don't quit. Don't quit. Sometimes the afflictions come because the world is crazy and they just coming after you. Sometimes it comes because you've been doing a work and the enemy is coming against you. It doesn't matter how, where, or when the affliction comes, just don't quit. Don't quit. If you think that Satan is going to sit back and let you just change the culture and impact the world around you and not have no problems around you, let me hip y'all up to some truth. That's a lie. He coming after us. Oh, I don't like that, Pastor. That's the reason why I won't do this no more. Nathan in the movie was hit on purpose and injured in a crucial game his junior year. They threw a brick in his house and almost hurt his little brother, and they told him to quit football. And the enemy had him thinking that football was not worth it. The enemy had him thinking, look, I can't go to Alabama. I can't do this. This is too hard. He says it's too much of a weight. But see, when God has called you to do something, if you don't sit there, if you don't recognize that Satan is going to come after you, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be feeling like I'm supposed to not do this. What affliction or hardship have you faced that's caused you to want to quit? It's made you not want to do the work that God's called you to. Paul was like, look, I done been beat 5 times by the Jews. I done been beat 3 times with a rod. I was stoned. I was shipwrecked. I had a night while I was out in the deep in the water. I had all these journeys. Paul started listing all his afflictions. And he said, you know what he said? But I'm still going. I didn't quit. He was hungry, naked, beat. I was like, dude, I ain't been through what Paul's been. No matter how bad it is, you ain't go through what Paul went through. 2 Chronicles 5:17 says, but you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Don't quit because the work you're doing will be rewarded. Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. That's how I know you're going to get rewarded. We're still talking about Paul's life. Thousands of years later, he got rewarded. I know that makes you afraid, but check this out. Isaiah 43 says this, that fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, guess what God says? I'm going to be with you. And when you walk through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. You are precious in my sight. You have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Stop being afraid and talking about, I can't do this. God's like, whatever you're going through, I'm right there with you. I will give people's lives in exchange for yours. Stop being scared to do the work that God's called you to do. But what if things don't work out, Pastor? I mean, the coach lost his job. He ended up being a State Farm agent like Jake. Khakis and all. What if I say something and everything I've worked for is taken from me? What if they take my job? Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts, the plans that I have towards you, says the Lord. They're of good and not evil. They're plans to give you hope and a future. Don't you know I already have a plan for them getting you out of your job? I already know they're going to fire you. And when they fire you, it's going to put you right where I called you to be. But Pastor, I'm tired of trying to change a culture that seems like it's getting worse. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you will reap a harvest if we don't lose heart. But Pastor, I'm not strong enough to do this. This is too hard. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Pastor, this is too hard. It's impossible. It's like Tony said, I ain't never seen nobody do this before. Mark 10:27, with men it's impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. See, it doesn't matter what the affliction is. We can endure it because God's word is truth. Don't run. Do the work. Do you. Don't quit. You can change the culture. You don't have to stand out there with a protest sign. Do the work God's called you to do. I got so free because I said, thank you, Lord. I watched the end of the movie, and they had a clip of Billy Graham. And because of copyright issues, I can't show it, so I'm just going to tell you what he said. It was that clip of him at Expo 1972 in Dallas. And he says, you know, I'm going to ask you to light a candle to symbolize that we're going to go out of this place to proclaim a gospel that can bring peace to our world, that can change all the social injustice, and a gospel that can transform the lives of millions of people on every continent. And we're challenging you to do it. That's my challenge to you today. Come on, stand to your feet. I don't have no candles to light because I'm scared of fires in a church. Get your cell phones out, light them, Lydia says. Okay, but I'm going to give you the same challenge. Will you say yes today? I'm not asking you to run for Congress. I'm not asking you to start the new hashtag movement. I'm not asking you to be a Facebook or internet troll. You know what I'm asking you to do? I'm asking you, don't run, be watchful. Do the work. Man, don't quit. Don't give up. Do you? That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm convinced that if we do this, we'll see a culture around us change. Just right now, the Holy Spirit's bringing to mind something. Thank you, Jesus. In 1995, my husband had a vision, and all it was he saw 3,000 young people in a church worshiping. And the Lord told him, do a town hall meeting. He brought in E40, of all people, into a church, and they thought maybe they'd get 300 kids. They got 3,000. 3,000 kids in a church. They had to turn kids away. You know what they did? They talked about the problems. And out of that was birthed Midnight Basketball. He didn't know Midnight Basketball was going to start. He didn't know that one program would change the lives of thousands of young people in this community. He didn't know that their families would be transformed because they heard a gospel in the back of a gym. He didn't know. What he knew was God said, just do this one thing. You don't have to know how it's going to change the culture. You wouldn't be here today in this church, at Rohi Christian Church, 20 years later almost, if it hadn't have been for him just stepping out, doing him. And it was weird. Who brings E40 to a church? It was awkward. It didn't make sense. He did him. And God changed the culture. What is God calling you to do? You know what I want you to do today? I'm not asking you to hear it and know what he's asking you to do. I just ask you to say yes. If you're here today, I want you to come to the altar. If you're just saying, I'm saved, not saved. I'm not doing a call for your salvation. We're all family. If you need to know the Lord as Savior and you've never given your life to him, we'll have people here to pray with you afterwards. You can tell them. I'm giving a call for those of y'all who know the Lord. And you've been looking at this culture going, I don't know what to do. And you just said, yes, I'm going to do that. I can do this. I don't even know how to do everything, but I'm just going to say yes. If that's you, get to the altar. I want to pray with you because I believe the enemy wants to hit you quickly, and I'm going to pray for a covering over you right now. Come on down to the altar. I want to pray for you. I don't care what your work is. I don't care where your work is. I don't care where you're supposed to be doing it. I just want you to come to the altar. I want to pray for you because I believe that God wants to protect you. He wants to protect this word you just got. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for every person at this altar this morning. Come on, everybody, lift your hands. Just tell them, yes, God. God, we don't know the details. We don't know how it's all going to work out. We may not even know the next step. But God, we say yes. Come on, say yes. Yes. Tell them, yes, I won't run. Yes, I'll watch and pray. Yes, God, I won't quit. When you tell me what to do, I'm going to do it. I say yes, God. I say yes, God. Now, Father God, we have stood here and we have said yes to you. We've declared we're not going to run. We're going to watch. We're going to pray. We've declared, Father God, we're going to do you. We're going to do the work of the evangelist. We've declared, Father God, that we won't quit. Now, God, speak a word to us. Tell us that next step. Tell us what you're calling us to do. I don't care how insignificant. I don't care how big it is. Just speak to us. May we very clearly hear and know what you're calling us to do. God, it might just be to talk to our neighbor. It might just be to share the love. It might be something else. But God, just speak it to us. Speak a word, and I proclaim a protection over that word in your heart. I proclaim a protection. I declare, Satan, you will not come in like a bird and snatch that seed from the lives of your people. I declare, of God's people, I declare that that word is protected, that it's covered, that God, you won't let it leave. I pray, Father God, that it will be a burning desire, like Jeremiah said. It'll be like fire shut up in my bones, that I can't leave it alone. I can't stop till I do what God has told me to do. I pray, Father God, that that word lands right now. I declare it's on good soil. I declare that that word is landing on good soil in the lives of the people at this altar. And I declare, Father God, that it will absolutely produce a harvest. I declare a 30, 60, 100-fold harvest on the word that you have placed in our hearts and in our lives right now. I declare that souls will be saved. I declare that this culture shall be changed. I declare a shift is happening right now in the culture of the people around us. I release right now the anointing. I release the Holy Spirit power, and I declare Acts 1:8, you shall be his witness. Come on, somebody. You shall be his witness. I declare prophetic words are flowing. I declare right now God is speaking words of encouragement to you. I declare it in the name of Jesus. Now I want somebody to just begin to shout and praise him and agree with him by saying amen. Thank you, Jesus. Look, I'm about to dismiss you, but when I do, if you heard God say something to you, don't leave this room until you write it down. I'm going to dismiss the church. They're going to have some music playing for you. And if you see somebody writing, don't talk to them. This is the one time in church I'm going to tell you to leave people alone. Here's why. Because if we don't write that word down, Satan is going to quickly make you forget what God told you to do. And you're going to say, I don't even know if that was God anymore. Let me tell you, it's God. We declare right now that what you got is from the Lord. Why can you say that? Because we asked God. We asked him for wisdom. And the Bible says he'll give you wisdom if you ask for it. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to dismiss you in just a second. And here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to take your phone out, because some of y'all are like, I got no pen and paper. I know you don't roll like that no more. Get your phone, go to the notes section, write it down. You might say, it makes no sense to me. I don't care. It didn't make sense to my husband either. It's not supposed to make sense. When God changes a culture, it's going to be crazy. Woodlawn, we got the movie. 40,000 people in a stadium watching a high school football game. And the coaches walk out and they say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And when they were censored, the whole stadium kept saying the prayer. It was crazy. It didn't make sense. It didn't make any sense. Just write it down. Just write it down. And the Lord will show you what to do with it. Let me bless you, but don't leave before you write it down. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God fall fresh on each and every one of you this morning. May the word that's implanted in you bring back a harvest, 100-fold. I declare that the word is putting you shall not return back to God void, but it shall accomplish everything he set it out for to do. I declare over you that you are blessed and you are highly favored. I dismiss you in the Lord. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand praise. I'm going to ask you to save your hugs for the hallway. Hug people in the hallway, but go back. If you're here, God bless you. If you're at the altar, write down what the Lord's told you. Go ahead and get that done. And then y'all can hug in the hallway. God bless you today. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.